Hi, my name is Kelly Renner. I'm here today with Chris Raubacher. We work in the Windows Developer Platform. And today we're here to talk about some of the new features we are supporting in our effects platform for composition. This talk assumes you have seen the previous talk, which covers most of the basics that you'll need to understand to start coding with effects. So we have lots of new things to introduce to you. We have new sources that support as input to effects. We have new brushes that we support, and new effects to introduce you to. Starting with new inputs, we have support for Layer Visual. Layer Visual works as applying effects to trees or subtrees of content. Previously, with an effect brush, you could only apply effects to the node or single visual of content in your tree. Now you can put an effect at the root of your tree of content, and that effect can be pushed down through the entire tree. So all of its children have effects applied to them. As you can see here, I have my flowers, my entire scene. I set saturation at the root, and everything on my screen has the color sucked out of it. Another new feature we're supporting in our effects platform is the backdrop brush. This is an effect that creates the ability to pop content on top of other content. Very common use of this is to blur a large background and then draw content on top of that blurred background. So I have my background. I create a new Gaussian blur effect to that background, and I'll say chain this with a sepia effect. Blur is new in our effect platform. A lot of you have asked for that, so I'm happy to say it's here for you now. I then draw my foreground content on top, and you can see the background content is now painted with the backdrop brush, and you can see the blurred and sepia effect content through the content on top. Chris will walk us through some code that shows you how to use a backdrop brush end to end.
Thank you, Kelly. We're going to show backdrop brush now. We have three visuals in our scene now. So if you remember from our talks before, composition uses a visual tree to represent the scene. And on those visuals, you use sprite visuals to describe the content that you draw in that visual tree. I have three sprite visuals that I'm creating today. One is going to look like a moon, one is a duck, and one is going to be green. Here I step through creation of each of those. I'm using an image that I've already loaded into Visual Studio for the moon, another one for the duck, and then here I just refer to colors green. They all have a different size and an offset. And when I run this, you can see I actually have a scene of multiple elements here. There's the moon, there's the duck, there's the green. So if we want to do some kind of effect to all of them, it would be nice if we could do it without having to alter the visual tree that we already created. To do that, we're going to use what we're calling backdrop brush, which will apply the effect to whatever has already been drawn into the render target. So we're going to use our new Gaussian blur effect here. I'm going to specify a blur radius of 4. I'm going to say it's going to have a source parameter. I create an effect factory from that. Remember, this is our chance to describe anything we want to animate. I'm going to want to animate blur amount later, so I specify that. I go ahead and create a new visual that's going to hold this effect, a new sprite visual. I set its source. Now, normally we would set this to one of our brushes that we created before. That was like chaining like the moon or the duck brush that we had created. This time I'm going to create a backdrop brush, which basically says, my brush is whatever is behind me in the render target. Now I'm going to use this brush set on the new background blur visual I've created, and I'm going to insert at the top, meaning it's rendered on top of everything else that I've created. And when we run this, we should see a blur sitting on top of all of our other content. There we go. Now if we want to animate, I'm going to add an animation parameter here. I'm going to animate the blur radius from 4 to 20 and then back. It's going to be over 4 seconds. We're going to bind this animation to blur amount. And when I run this, you see the blur amount is animating from very lightly blurred to very strongly blurred here. And you can see we did that without having to alter the underlying visual tree structure, which is the real power of backdrop brush. And now Kelly is going to talk about shadow.
Another feature that's been in high demand, particularly from our XAML customers, is the ability to support drop shadows on content. With our shadows support in our effects system, we have created a very simple way that you write minimal code to apply optimal effect to your content. To cast a shadow, I simply create a visual. Here I have a red visual, and I put a drop shadow on it. I've specified some offset so you can actually offset the shadow from the content, and a color of blue. That is all the code that is necessary to create an effect using a drop shadow. Now let's say I want to do something a little more interesting with that. I want to create interesting customized shaped shadows. You get rectangled shadows for free by default. But if you supply a mask, a drop shadow will mimic whatever content shape you provide. You create your composition surface brush for content. This is always the thing that holds content composition surface brush. Here I have my circle mask. I want to also create a composition mask to represent the circle image here. So I have my mask brush. The only thing I've changed from the previous code is I have the surface brush and the mask. And then when it's time to apply the effect, all I do is reference my shadow mask image. And you can get these kind of effects where you have soft circle drop shadows, or you can create any type of custom shadow using any type of mask you like. So Chris will walk us through all the interesting things you can do with shadows.
Thank you, Kelly. Let's demo shadows here. So I start with my trusty My Visual, which is our standard sprite visual that we've been working with. I'm going to go back to a red color here with a size of 200-200, offset by 100-100. I'm going to insert that into my visual tree. Now, we've already seen this in our previous talk, so I'm going to jump ahead as well and go ahead and create a drop shadow for us. So it's from the compositor, which is where we create all of our objects here. Go ahead and create a drop shadow. Specify the blur radius, the color, and the offset. And we don't insert it into the visual tree. We actually set it on a new property on visual called shadow. When I run this, we have our red rectangle here with a nice gray shadow cast off of it. So that's great. But then we want to extend that. We want to use a different brush that's a little more interesting than the solid color red. Here I'm going to create a surface brush, which refers to the rubber duck image that I've already loaded into Visual Studio. And I'm going to set the duck as the brush for the visual. Now when I render this, you'll see something that might not be quite expected. There's the duck, as you would expect being the brush for the visual, but the shadow being cast is still a rectangle. The reason for that is, as Kelly described, we want to make it easy for our developers to cast both the fast rectangular shadows based on the visuals, as well as having the option of casting a mask based on the content of the brush. So we made this very easy to fix and change if that's your intention. On the shadow for the mask, we set it to the same brush that we set on the visual. If you do that, they will match, and we should have a duck shadow that's cast. And there we go. You can see behind the duck is a shadow that is based on its shape. Now we always like to show what interesting animations we can do with our content. So I have three animations that I've created here. One is a radius for the shadow. I'm going to go from the base value of 5 that we specify here up to 50, then back down to 5 over 4 seconds. I'm going to take the offset of the shadow from the visual up to 130, then back down to its original value of 30. And I'm going to take the underlying visual that's casting the shadow. I'm going to make its offset up to the left 50-50, and then back down to 100-100, also with 4 seconds. I bind each of these animations to the respective offsets and blur radius. And when we run this, we should see a much more dynamic rubber duck. Now you can see the rubber duck is lifting off the page and then coming back down. And you'll see the shadow is responding dynamically and the blur amount is changing. This really gives some a dynamic feel. The duck feels like it jumps off of the page. And now Kelly will talk about scene lighting.
So one new feature that we're very excited to talk to you about today is scene lighting. Scene lighting, when we talk about making things easy for developers and super beautiful and incredibly cinematic, scene lighting is what we're most excited about. Scene lighting basically supports a concept of setting a light, a source light, in coordinate space, and then walking away, and everything below the root or node where you have set the light will respond to that light. Like all of our other effects, you can animate the light's properties, so you will see light pass through the visuals as light moves around on screen. In addition to the lighting effect, we also have a scene lighting effect. This is an effect that's used to describe how content responds to light. It explains its reflective surfaces, as well as the ability to support a normal map, which will give texture and depth, so light will fall off the images and content as it moves around the scene. A general effects lighting recipe is you create and place lights in coordinate space, then you target the lights. If you target the root, you get everything below that light. And then optionally, you can use the scene lighting effect to describe customized effects with an effect brush, like diffuse and specular properties. Chris is going to walk us through how you can set up a scene light and the minimal amount of code it takes to do it.
Let's demo scene lighting. Now, the real power of scene lighting is to be able to work with the lights independently of the visuals. So for this demo, what I'm going to do is create a grid of many visuals. I'm going to create many sprite visuals, and we're going to make some look like rubber ducks, some look like full moons, and some just look gray. We're going to give them different offsets, and we're going to insert them into the root of our tree. And when we run this, we see 6 by 4 visuals, a total of 24 visuals, all as we just described. Now, let's really see the power of scene lighting. I'm going to create 2 lights here. One which is ambient, which describes the subtle light that is bouncing all around the room that gives some light everywhere. I'm going to make it about half lit. And then I'm going to add a point light, which is the same as we did before in image lighting, which is a single point in space emanating in all directions equally. I'm going to say its coordinate space is tied to the root. I'm going to give the point light an offset of 80, 80, 50, so it's lifted off the page some. I'm going to give it a color of green. I'm going to say both ambient and point light, I want you to light everything under the root. And when we run this, we didn't have to make any modifications to all the visuals that we already had. And now you can see there's a green light centered right here above the scene. And as we get farther away, it is less lit by that light. So again, the real power and interesting dynamics come from when we add animations. So I have 2 animations here that I'm going to add. One affects the offset of the light and moves it around in a rectangular pattern above the visuals. The other changes the color from green to red, blue, yellow, and back, both over the course of 8 seconds. And as usual, we bind our animations back to the underlying object. So this is just point light. We're modifying the color as well as the offset. And when we run this, you can now see the light flying over our scene of visuals. And remember, we didn't have to modify the visuals in any way. They just respond appropriately automatically to the light. And this will give a tremendous amount of control that our customers can do to do interesting lighting effects. And those were our demos. Thank you for watching. Please, you can find this source code as well as much more example code on GitHub, Microsoft Composition. You can also find more videos like this on Channel 9. And you can find our API described on MSDN. Please use our API, send us questions, give us feedback. We would love to hear from you. You can find our email address here as well as our Twitter handle. Thank you very much.
Thank you.